When something is old as fuck, it's about 1.2 billion years old. That's when studies suggest sexual reproduction evolved. Welcome.
Here you go.
To two-thirds focused.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm Rasmus.
Two-thirds focused, or one-third tired, one-third old, and one-third Rasmus. And old, yeah. Okay. And I'm Red.
And I'm Jan.
Tired, Jan.
Yeah. The hate is keeping me awake.
So why don't you start? How the fuck are you doing?
I'm back. I had a wonderful time in New York. Thanks, guys, for basically for getting James on. I was in no position with the jet lag to do a recording that day.
Yeah.
I somehow made it through the day, but it wasn't easy. Then there was the Easter weekend, which was also very nice. And then it was back to work, which started directly with a business trip. So today was actually the first time I was able to check all of my emails,
which How was many?
A metric fuck ton, I would say. Yeah, fuck ton is pretty much the good description of it. And also a surprise visit from our Japanese director, which is also taking up time. We're going to have sales meeting tomorrow, and I had to prepare stuff for that, which no one really knew about till a couple of days ago.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was wonderful. So needless to say, I just got into the door, grabbed something to eat. Now I'm here.
Cool. And how was New York? Tell us a little bit more about the city. And
the musical you saw, Aladdin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aladdin. Aladdin.
Aladdin. Okay. So first of all, New York is almost the same and different than I remember, like in both ways. It was very much, like from an architectural standpoint, it was pretty much the same.
Yeah.
There were a lot less people than there were. That was my feeling from when I was back 20 years ago. Okay. You actually see a lot of the shops being empty in New York, which is something I've never saw or looked at when I was there the last time. At any day, like the Times Square was crowded, of course, but then that's also the pictures that you always see. But every side street that we walked on, you always had room and were able to walk freely without having to like push through crowded masses. We talked to some people about it, and they said this, some has to do with COVID, some has to do with just the absolute insane influx in the prices.
Yeah.
So a lot of people actually move out of the city.
Okay.
And just travel in for work.
Yeah.
So that was kind of strange.
I've seen a video about an apartment in New York. It was like probably 25 square meters, and it was $2,500.
Oh, yeah. So
it's just insane.
So we were told that rent for a two-bedroom, like a three-room apartment, basically, is depending on like where you live. But in square meters, I think we're talking about 50 square meters. I'm sorry, I can't translate it into square foot right now. And we are talking about $8,000 to $12,000 of rent for that. Okay. We were shown when we drove in from Jersey into I think we took one of the bridges, and they said, so I guess see that like on Jersey side, those apartments were facing the river, 20 to 30 million for an apartment.
Wow.
That's fine prices. Or in easier terms, so to describe it when I say increased prices, I think it's a bad comparison because it's 20 years since I've been there. I would say everything got about four times as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So just having breakfast bagels.
Yeah.
Like at a bagel store or a bagel shop, we're not talking Dunkin' Donuts. We're talking like one of the real stores. So we're talking about two bagels, two coffees, two orange juice, $66.
Wow. That's expensive. That's absolutely insane.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like 54 and then you got tip.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, yeah.
But still. Yeah. Damn, I'm not happy to live in France, but I'm happy.
It was really expensive, but it was really beautiful. Like we saw a lot. Yeah. We went to the American Museum of Natural History.
Yeah.
what, like, maybe you know it from the movie At Night at the Museum.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was incredible. Like, the showcases, the not just the dinosaur bones, but just everything they had in there was so wonderfully displayed with the hand-painted backgrounds that you had in there and the stuffed animals. Then you had the different, basically every floor you went to, everything was just absolutely amazing. And we had the luck to be there pretty early. Mm-hmm. So when we first walked through there, we were pretty much the only people in there.
Nice.
Ooh.
2 hours later, it was crowded. Then because it was the weekends, then they had the parents with the children. And I think at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we just escaped.
Yeah.
Like, we had to get out of there. But till then, it was absolutely wonderful.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then we did the usual stuff. Like, we went down, we had the pass to with the metro. We went down to Brooklyn, to the park, the Brooklyn Park, like right at the harbor, to get the photographs of the skyline. I had my analog cameras with me. We went over Brooklyn Bridge. And then, of course, we had the evening programs that we had. We watched Aladdin on Broadway, which was phenomenal. The theater was so much smaller than I imagined it.
Mm-hmm.
But the show itself was incredible. And it was also the 10-year anniversary of it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
did you go to see Lady Liberty or Ground Zero or like the
big We went to the one World Trade Center they have now, or the one center or whatever they call it, and saw the memorials.
Yeah.
That was pretty moving because when I was there or when I used to visit it, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
So there were still the rebel that they were transporting out. Then what else did we see? The hotel was right next to the Rockefeller Center, and they did that huge Star Wars promotion.
Nice.
So I just remember that Steph and I, we went out for dinner and we walk out and look to our right and you just see the Rockefeller Center, the giant, was it the Rockefeller, the Empire State Building. And then we watch up and we see the Empire State Building and we just see those TIE fighters just flying out of hangars in there, which is like, what the hell is happening there? And then we saw it like a day later. It was on Instagram and everywhere that they had that promotion where they basically hijacked it and projected on the side of it.
Cool.
Yeah. And we also went into a magician show.
Yeah,
you mentioned.
Yeah.
What was that?
It's called like a speakeasy magician show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into the details because I really don't want to give it away. But if you are in New York, be on the lookout for it. It is incredible. And it was, you can describe it as speed dating with magicians. So in the room, you sit there and you have those oval tables. It's all speakeasy style. So the ladies were in like the 20s, 30s outfit, like those glamorous dresses, the waiters and everything. You're getting drinks onto the table. And then you got those nice play tables around it. And you got like 10 person on each table. You got like 10 of them. And then you got the magicians coming in. And they have a stage where they do some shows.
Yeah.
But they come down and all the magicians go to the tables. And they are right next to you, right in front of you at your table and do tricks.
Yeah.
And they do like 5-10 of them for like limited
time. Is that what they call close-up magic or something?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And it's like, this is why they call it like speed dating, because he gets up, he moves, the next one comes, sits down, and the whole thing returns. And you're sitting there having drinks while the guy is basically doing tricks in front of you. It was incredible. Yeah.
Cool. Nice. What about you, Raz? How was your week?
Yeah, sorry, I've been rambling.
No, that was great
to hear about.
Yeah, we traveled thanks to you.
Yes, I've been working a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the normal amount. I've been working.
Okay.
I have been fiddling with buying new stuff and getting the forge sorted for next round of classes.
Yeah.
And then also building or working on a bit of a gate today.
Mm-hmm.
But I posted it in the stories today, but long story short, I needed to add a cross brace to a gate I worked on that I really did most of the work on before I moved workshop.
Yeah.
But because I need to add the cross brace now because I realized it would be sagging if I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of obvious, but I forgot in the moment. So I need to add that in now after everything is riveted. And then you need to drill into the center of things and my pillar drill couldn't reach everywhere.
Yeah.
So I put it on the welding table. I put a block of steel underneath so I have something to sort of drill it into and don't get too much of like the snarky sharp end. And I drill and I drill and it takes forever. I do two out of three holes and then I think, I wonder if I have some very special drill bits here that might be better for this when I do it by hand. And I do. I have a new fresh drill bit. I start drilling through. I realize this is going really fast. This is fun. And then I stop wondering for myself, I'm only supposed to be drilling a centimeter deep. This is a lot more. And I stop and I look and I drilled into the block of steel that I put beneath it.
Oh, wow.
Drilling table underneath that.
I want to know the brand of your drill bits because I need some of those.
Yeah, they were good. They were really good. Yeah. I might have drilled like 4 millimeters down into the welding table.
Yeah, it's what you call a mounting hole. That's fine. That's like...
Yeah. my thinking as well. I'll just make it bigger and I'll just have a place to put clamps later on.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I sort of relearned an old lesson that having good tools is really nice. It makes jobs go a lot easier and quicker. Mm-hmm. You just need to remember that you have the good tools and that you need to use them when they are called for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I don't need to have to suffer.
Yeah, I was so used to it. It is unusual now. I also redid the gas forge again, kind of.
Yeah.
So I talked about earlier that it was too big internal volume.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I took down a bit. I had four stones stacked in the height-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a big capstone and a burner going through that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was too much internal volume. Mm-hmm. So it would take forever to heat up. And even to the extent that it was difficult to light it because it might blow itself out because of atmospheric magic. I don't know. And if you can probably explain it to me. But I had a notion of thinking, maybe if I make the internal volume smaller, it will take less time to heat up.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I realized, okay, I like this configuration better, but there's still a lot of thermal mass in it to heat up.
Mm-hmm.
So to prevent that a little bit, I took the three stones I had on the side, I took two of them and I put sort of on, not flat, but sort of on the short end, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Stacked two of those on top of each other, so it's a little bit taller than three stones flat.
Yeah.
But I like this a lot better. And I got some cladding around it cut in stainless steel, so hopefully it will not scale up so much, so it will actually stay kind of nice and stable. And welded up a frame, welded up mounting brackets for the ribbon burner, which I probably should have done ages ago when I first built the gas forge, because up until now the burner has just been propped into the hole and it's been kind of at an angle inside of there because weight of all of the pipe and the fan on one side and all of it. So it is a lot better now. I haven't fired it up yet. I need to do that tomorrow before the class just to make sure everything is running nicely. It's not that I have time to fiddle and fix things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a phone call from a customer reminding me that, I have a job to do for them. And they wonder when they can come and test fit things. And I'm like...
Next year?
And I'm like, you can come soon. I'm nearly done. And then spending 3 hours in a panic just welding up what they need so that they can test fit it. And then they didn't reply and haven't gotten around to coming by and test fitting it. But now it's ready for them. It's not fully welded things, but it's like tacked and it's secure. And I made tightening brackets so you can adjust it a little bit and all of it.
It's a big revelation for you. They didn't actually want to test fit it today, then they want to test fit it next week. But as they know you, they gave you the phone call, so they knew you could like start working on it.
Maybe yeah.
One guy turns around to the other one and goes like, "That'll make him panic."
I wouldn't surprise me. Moving on.
Quick question though. Yeah. Your gas forge, you have one burner.
I have one.
It's a one burner
inch ribbon burner.
Okay.
Which also I talked to a friend. So I might have bought a 12 inch ribbon burner because a friend here in Norway started to make them.
Yeah, you mentioned that like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That you wanted to, but didn't actually buy it at that time. And,
well, yeah. Now I placed an order with him, so he will make one. He didn't get around to actually telling me a price yet, but he said it will be cheaper than the last one you bought. And I was like, okay, good. I want one.
Cool.
So I'll be probably ending up having two ribbon burners and need to figure out what the hell I want to do with the capstone I got now and things. Lots of things. I'll sort it out.
The furnace? and melt steel, so you can cast stuff, maybe?
No, I have a Jürgen for that.
Okay.
He's really good at casting metals. I don't need to faff about that as well. And this is me being smart and not saying like, yes, I really, really want to, but I know I shouldn't.
Okay.
I still haven't actually gotten around to making swords I dreamed of this spring. So
I dream of.
Yeah.
You misspoke.
Yeah. You dream of. I want to make them too. I just haven't had the time because shit has been happening.
Just think of it as a 1.2-meter kitchen knife.
Sorry? Say again.
Oh, sorry. Just think of it as often 1.2-meter kitchen knife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that sounds like me just making Cloud's Buster Sword from Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I guess not. Come on, you're just an ableist. You're not helping, really. Yeah,
but if it's made of steel,
come on,
it's straight, sharp, and you can wave it, it's a sword. So that's fine.
And you guys love anime. Come on, Raz. Yeah. Just do the sword from Bleach. Like every single face size.
I know
that one.
Bleach?
From Bleach?
Yeah, I'm not a big anime guy. Remember, I watched Death Note and Pokemon. That's kind of it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Fucking useless, though, but yes.
Okay, sure. I haven't looked it up.
I will send you a picture.
Yeah, I know the sword, like Bleach, the character, the sword transforms like every single time, like he levels up or whatever, like does the next stage, the sword changes. So it goes from like the giant berserk sword to like normal, like ninja sword types, knife kind of types, like everything through.
That sounds complicated.
Oh, it's not the same one. Like you would have to do just multiple.
Yeah, it still sounds complicated.
That's the one.
Okay.
Red.
How about you, though?
I did nothing for a week. Remember last week when we recorded with James, I told you I took the day off. Mm-hmm. I decided to take the week off, actually. I kind of needed it, wanted it. Yeah. And my wife told me to do it, so I did.
Oh, then you definitely needed it.
Yeah, I was kind of fed up of getting bad news over bad news, mm-hmm. in the sense of really like bad news. So I said, yeah, fuck that. I'm going to take the week off and I'm going to do nothing or pretend to do nothing. So I haven't worked. I haven't been productive. I haven't even finished mounting my new PC, building my new PC. I just took the time to be and enjoy being with my wife, my kid, resting, watching TV shows. We went to do two escape games one Monday, probably Sunday, I don't remember, which was great.
What kind? So,
the first one, we were in like 20,000 years ago in a cave, and we had to escape from the caves. So it's very different from what you do in usual escape games, because usually you have locks and codes and lights and button you have to push to open doors and stuff. And over there, nothing of that kind, because it's like 20,000 years ago, you didn't have like numbers or blocks or anything.
No, so it was sticks.
Yeah, that was basically it. Sticks and stones and fake fires and painting on the walls.
Disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but it was really fun. And the second one, we were in a secret lab in a mountain, and we had to escape from this before a big earthquake. So that was also fun. But you start in the dark. So first thing that you have to do is to switch on the light. And it's not easy. It takes like 20 minutes to do that. Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun.
But it's the kind of escape room where you have an hour to get out?
Or? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you made it?
Yeah, yeah. Both time we did. First part was 55 minutes and the second one 58 minutes.
Oh, that's got the
impact. It was a close call, but we managed to do it. It's not the first one that we did. It was actually the probably fifth and sixth one with the kid. Mm-hmm. So now even he he's getting used to the like the tricks that they can use in a room. So if you know that if you find at some point you find an UV lamp, you have to scan everywhere, everything, because something is written somewhere. You have to find it, and it's probably the code to open the next door and or put stuff together. It's great, but it was great fun for him, for us. And yeah, doing only, as the people said over there, you're doing like two adults with a child. It was a great performance to do it in 1 hour. So we were pretty happy and proud of ourselves. So cool. Yeah, that was fun. And that it's been my week, just resting, having fun and taking it easy for once, like no pressure.
Yeah.
Almost like I had the week of living without ambitions at all. Call it. I know you want to call it. So to do it.
Oh, beautiful segues. Beautiful.
Thank
segues.
You.
Yeah, I was just like, damn, that was good.
We were struck by awe.
Yeah.
Struck speech
yeah,
by
yeah,
awe.
Yeah, yeah.
In awe.
Sure.
Yeah. Something, something. Yeah.
So that's your topic. Why don't you introduce it or tell us what made you think of this?
I'm not really sure where it comes from now.
Okay.
But it is maybe just a general concept of, I think we are fairly ambitious people to some extent.
Yeah.
But then the opposite of that, could you live without ambition? What would that be? What would that look like for you?
Well, first question, how do you define ambition? What is ambition to you?
That you're striving to do things better, be better, that you want something.
Okay. So it's completely different from success, right? It's not the same thing.
I mean, I would say that you need a fair bit of ambition to have success.
Yeah, but you don't need success to keep your ambition.
Maybe.
Do you?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. I was pondering this question. I was like, it sounds really sad to live without ambition. Because then to me, it sounds like you don't have any drive to get things done.
Yeah, okay. I understand your point of view. I don't necessarily agree with you.
Good. It's going to be interesting then.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting conversation, hopefully. I remember having a lot of ambition when I started working as a teacher, and I wanted to accomplish things, do things, progress in my career, and get a higher position, get a better salary, and have more responsibilities inside the university or the schools I worked in. Now, I see things a little bit differently. Maybe it's because I'm old and tired, or maybe I became a little bit wiser. I don't know. But not working a regular job, 9 to 5, and being at home dad, taking care of my kid and hopefully my wife, and working. It's a mix of all that. Made me think that you can have ambition, but it's fine if you don't. Let me explain quickly. I've always seen myself, I've always worked, like every single day of the week I work, unless I'm on vacation, like past week I do something. I have to do something because it's like a need for me to go in the direction I want to go in towards, to like pick the one that is correct.
I'll try.
Please. But one day I realized that it's fine to not have any kind of ambition in life. If you are aware of it, you can be perfectly happy. And that said, being happy can be an ambition on itself. Like, what's your ambition in life? What's your goal in life? I just want to be happy.
Isn't there a difference, though, between ambition and goal?
I see one, but we might not necessarily agree on the definition of both. Like, ambition for me is like a drive that push you towards the goal, which is like the finish line, the thing that you really want to reach. And so one, it would be the engine, and the other one would be the finish line. you can just keep driving with your ambition without reaching the finish line anytime soon or never, even so. So I would say I can live without any ambition, because I realized that if you have an ambition, you have a drive, but you have a will. And having a will, if you reach it, I'm not sure if it's Heidegger or someone else, but saying that life is like a pendulum and you are always oscillating between will and boredom. You want something, so you have this drive, ambition, you're trying to achieve something. So you do it, and when you reach it, after a while, you're getting bored. And therefore, you oscillate on the other side again to something different. You have a new will, you have a new goal, you have a new ambition, and it goes like this, like for your life. Maybe it's having spent so much time in Japan and having learned the philosophy, but you can be happy without, like, being should be enough. Just existing should be enough. Being with the people that you love and doing what you do should be enough. So you don't necessarily need ambition or the complicated ambition to be happy in life or to live your life. I'm not saying that it's good to not have one, but I'm just saying that it's feasible. It's something that can happen, maybe. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jan?
I kind of agree with Red there, which is funny because that we're having a conversation now, because it gives the whole thing after Corona a whole new view. I was always very driven. I was very ambitious regarding my career. Mm-hmm. So from when I was pretty young, my apprenticeship on, I was always trying to get further along in the career path.
Yeah.
Because kind of like what was expected, like the typical German thing of getting better. That's what my idea was behind it. And within the last 2 years, like during Corona, was that forced stop. Because I was also, like you said, right, or explained, always hunting the next thing. Mm. I was never content with the... If I got success, I was directly looking for the next one where I could move up, get better at. Mm. And Corona was like a forced stop, and it kind of made me rethink a lot of things. And that's what you said. So there's certain thing, also appreciating where I am at the moment, mm-hmm. in my job. Like I can look back and say, it's like, well, okay, I've come pretty far. So I would say my ambition got replaced by kind of a, not stagnation, but just appreciation of where I'm at. Like, how to say it, being contempt.
Mm-hmm. Contempt. With where I'm at. Contempt.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's different.
Yeah. No, but this is, so now I'm actually, of course, you're always looking for new things. It's like I have my hobbies, and then that's where I get ambitious. I need that little bit of like pushing myself and trying to get better. I enjoy that. Mm. So to challenge myself. But when it comes work-wise and like with my friends, yeah, I'm doing good. So this is something that just over the last 2 years, it's not gone. Mm-hmm. Like if I get the chance, I still take it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not as actively fighting for it anymore as I used to. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does.
I think it seems a lot more peaceful to not have an intense amount of ambition or that kind of drive, all this chasing. The next thing.
It was unhealthy. I missed out on a lot of things because of it. And I didn't even realize it till way later, till it was completely gone. And instead of concentrating on it and fixing it, I just continued running.
I have a few friends from ages ago that seemingly have very early on figured out what's important in life, what they want in life. Mm-hmm. And that is settle down, have a family. Mm-hmm. Either because they figured it out for themselves or societal norms just really fit them really well. That's what they did. And they managed that. Mm-hmm. And from the outside looking in, they seem to be living without ambition at all. They're just content being and living in the moment. And that looks amazing. And they seem really happy about it. Mm. But at the same time, it's like, but don't you aspire to be more? Do more, achieve more?
I see your point of view. And of course, the The answer would be yes, at least in my case. Like,
do you feel like you're settled though? Like,
yeah, somehow. Somehow, yeah, because I don't see myself do again what we did like 20 years ago with my wife, like moving out of the country, starting over, searching for a new job and going through that job and different position to at some point come back and do it all over again and again and again. So I think I'm past that. I mentioned it several times. I'm not specifically happy about where I live at the moment, but I'm not unhappy either. I see myself like in 10, 15 years, maybe. I don't know. We'll see how life goes. But I would like to see myself and my family in a bigger house so I can do more things. Yeah, like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. The make your dream kind of stuff.
But yeah, the make your dream, the usual make your dream, like bigger shop, more shops, different shops, whatever.
I mean, let's be clear though. The make your dream is at this level, and then you have Jimmy Duresta a couple of notches above that.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
We don't need to get all the way there.
No, absolutely. No, but for example, I have my workshop for leather. I would love to have my forge back. Yeah. Like, and it's not far away. It's at my parents' place. It's like 20 minutes by car. But if I had just a house for me and with a small smithy next to it, I would be super happy because I could do both and wouldn't bother my neighbors.
For about a year. And then you need that workshop for tailoring.
Yeah. And I would also build one for woodworking or whatever. But yeah, you see what I mean? I would expand, obviously, as much as I can. But I'm happy to have at least a workshop now, to be able to work, to do what I do on a daily basis. So that's okay.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I have all these... It would be nice to go to New York, like for Christmas with the wife and the kid. It would be nice to go back to Japan and show the kid where he's from. And it would be nice to do this and do that. I would like to learn how to drive a motorbike at some point. And you always have this ambition. And it's not even a dream because it's completely reachable and it doesn't require much, you know, to do it. So it's probably more an ambition of, as Jan said, getting better at stuff, getting better at your work, getting better at your in life. Like, I can pretty much drive everything that has four wheels, but I don't know how to drive stuff with two or three wheels. Okay, so that's something that I would love to add to my skill set, for example. Very basic example, but at some point in life, when you are kind of settled, you have a wife, you have family, you have responsibility, you have a job, and you reach like, I'm in my late 40s now, and I like, the other day my wife was telling me, you remember when we did this? I was like, yeah. And it's like, we did some crazy, amazing things in the past. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And it never occurred to me that we did some pretty fucking special stuff in the past 20 years. So we are happy to have done that. At the time, it never been an ambition to do it. It's never been a dream or something we were chasing. It was like, it just happened.
Yeah.
You know?
But you were open for it.
Yeah, we were open for it. And when we had the chance, we seized it. And so we did. And that's great. And it was like, but it was, even though we were aware that it was like a great opportunity, a great experience, a chance to do what we did, it was kind of normal. It was not like we didn't work hard in order to achieve those things or do those things. And ambition, as I see it, is like you really have to put some work into it. So that's where my definition of ambition is a little bit probably not right or not the same as the one that you have. Because I see the opportunities that we have and that we create as something that just occurs in life when the time is right, and we provoke it, but it's not something that we are chasing like hardly. Like It's hard to explain, though, now I think about it.
It is. I've also been trying to think about it. And
I kind of love what you said, though, Raz, with that, with your friends. It's like they were thriven or they wanted to get a family. And then it's kind of like they stop.
Hmm.
Because this is like when you are in school and you have your friends at school, like everybody has their ambition and their goals when you're young. Like you dream up the future, and the future looks really different for every single one. And I have friends that had exactly that. They wanted to get married. They wanted to have children. They want to have their own house. They did it. And for a long time, I had the feeling like they just stopped. And I asked myself the same questions, like, isn't there anything you want more? And I asked a friend of mine that. It's like, dude, like you were brilliant at school. You could have done so much more. It's like, no, but I reached exactly what I wanted.
Mm.
And it took me, and I envy him because, or I'm kind of jealous about, because I now realize it's like, okay, now I get it. Because this is what it means to be getting settled. While I thought it would be completely normal to like chase after stuff the whole time.
Isn't ambition kind of a pain? Something painful to have as well, because when you say that, it makes me think of me as well. My wife and my kid and my situation at the moment, it's not perfect, it's not great, we're not rich, we are not living in a castle or whatever, but we're happy.
The castles are really drafty anyway.
Yeah, but that's not true. I don't like drafty, but stone, old stones, it's great. We have difficult times, obviously, as everyone, but we are happy where we're at because it's been so much worse in the past that we are now aware of our quality of life, right? And having more ambition or a different ambition sounds to me that you will have to work so hard and go through so much pain in order to reach something that you will, when it's reached, when you have it, when you are holding it, doesn't necessarily mean that you will be completely happy.
Exactly.
And to me, it's like I'm at peace. Like now,
exactly.
If it's stagnate. Like this till the end of my life, I'm happy. I'm okay. I'm okay with the idea. Yeah. Of course, I want more. I want to do more. I want to travel. I want to do stuff. But if that happens, that will be like bonus stage. Like it's good, but it's not necessary. Yeah. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how I see ambition.
This is where ambition can really hurt, is when you're not even stopping on looking back. And also there's the point of diminishing return. Where at one point where you just have your limits, and if you're really ambitious and you don't see that and you're not slowing down, you're trying to push hard through it. Of course, you're going to get further in different stuff, but there is a point of diminishing return for it. And this is then the worst part, is being ambitious and being absolutely unhappy in the situation you're in.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the stage where I was before Corona.
Mm.
And this is one of the things where I said, it's like there's not just negative things about it, because that forced stop that was out of my control actually made me, I had to stop for the first time.
Yeah.
And I realized a lot of things that I've been missing out on the years before. So, and a lot of things that helped.
I think there was a lot of people who ended up using basically the pandemic to take account of their life and figuring, sort of rebalancing and checking out am I actually on the path I want to be on?
Yeah.
And that, for a lot of people, it helped. And for some, it absolutely did not. Like sometimes it's not good having the time to think about itself.
Did you both have in your countries the same that we had in France just after COVID, like 25% of people that just quitting their job because they realized that they had a shitty life and wanted to
traveling make the world, a shift stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Steph and I probably traveled more within the last 3 years than we did in like 10 years before that.
Yeah.
Because once you like don't have access to something, and just being the possibility to travel, you're, definitely, you want to change something.
We did kind of the same after the big earthquake in Japan with the wife. It was like, it was like the fourth year after we moved in. And we had done a lot of stuff traveling around the country, And for the past, before it happened, the year before it happened, we were kind of, I'm tired, I just want to take a break. So this time we don't travel during the holidays. But after it happened, we realized that, oh, we could have fucking died that day. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So we had this boost of let's enjoy life whilst we can, because it can be very short. So let's travel more. Let's do more stuff. Let's have a baby, because that's something that we want in life. So it triggered a lot of like smaller or bigger events in our lives because of this kind of, I hate the fucking word, but epiphany of like, life is short. We knew that already, but when you are so close to a big catastrophe, like the one that happened.
Yeah, if you get a shoved in your face, then.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you get, it's like a kick in the butt or a slap in your face. It's like, wake up, you can do more. You ought to be something different, to do more, to enjoy more, to just more. And even that is not ambition to me. It's just like waking up and just be happy with all the possibility that you have. See?
I think ambition for me sort of comes down to the fact that you will have to sacrifice something for the thing you are looking for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And depending on what that thing is and how you want to achieve it, like you might need to sacrifice more or less.
Yes. Yeah.
But like having a child, you are sacrificing a certain portion of your freedom.
Yeah. Yes.
And all of the economical things and a bit of peace of mind and all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have like the career ambitions where you're sacrificing your personal life completely or a lot of it, because you think everything will be better if I can just get a better job, bigger house, bigger car, more money, all of that.
Yeah.
But I kind of envy those people who can live and be content. I wouldn't dare to propose that everybody's happy, but living without ambitions, be content and just be, basically. Mm-hmm. I can't understand how they function, but I envy them for functioning like that.
Yeah.
Go on. Yeah.
I would say that when it comes to ambition, ambition is not just the ambition for something, but it's if a person is ambitious or not, because it can always reflect in different things. Like I said, I stopped being so ambitious about work. Now I'm about free time with Steph, like where we can travel. It just shifts. It's like it's in the person. Yeah. And this is really hard to get rid of, because I know that I am ambitious.
Mm.
Steph is the same. Like we really work well together when it comes to that. So we both know why we're doing it. So that helps a lot.
Yeah.
But being ambitious is something that can be difficult if you got like different characters or like with your friends where you don't have it. And it's not a good or a bad thing. For me, the worst part would be being completely like stagnant. And I use the term officially as something negative. Mm. The other, like maybe a friend of mine wouldn't call it stagnant. He would call it that he arrived and he is content.
Yeah.
It's the same situation. For me, it would be hell. For him, it's bliss.
Mm.
And that doesn't make it a good or a bad thing. That's just two different ways of taking it. And I'm forcibly trying to slow down a little bit and taking a step back and trying to enjoy more the here and now. It's still difficult.
It is difficult. And that's why I said I feel that I am at peace with my situation. But I'm still not fully happy with it, because somehow I have ambition. But the ambition, as you said, shifts from one place to another depending on the week and depending on the months of the year or what happens in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I've created my business and I want to develop that business. I want to make more money. I want to create more. I want to have more clients. I want to be more present on the socials to get my products advertised and keep the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
But as said, it's a sacrifice. If I want to do that, if I have that ambition, I need to sacrifice something. I need to sacrifice my time or my energy or the well-being of my wife or my kid, or the time that I take care of my parents, or anything or something different in my life, like the time that I take to watch movies and enjoy video games, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I have it, and it's a bit contradictory with everything that I said previously. Like I'm happy, and I don't really have ambition, but of course I do. It depends where you put the ambition. If it's in your life, or if it's at work. At work, I hope. I don't think I have more ambition or less ambition than anyone else. I just have I hope that my business will develop because mm-hmm. of all the energy and time that I put into that business. So ambition would just be the reflection or just the mirror image of the work I put in. It's like, I work, I want to be successful. I have the ambition to develop my business and make more money. Mm-hmm. On a personal side, on the personal life, mm-hmm. I don't have that ambition because I know the sacrifice that it requires. So I'm always shifting between, I need to do that for my business, but fuck, if I do it, I can't do that. And now that is my priority. Mm-hmm. Like I had all my whole day scheduled today. I started early, went to the post office, did the thing that I needed to do. And then I got a phone call from the school because my kiddo was sick at school. Yeah. So can you come and pick him up because he puked and he's not feeling good? Here goes my day. The rest of my day is gone because I know that my son is my priority. So of course I'm going to the school. I'm picking him up. I'm bringing him to my doctor so he can check him, see if everything's fine. Then I can have a conversation with my son, take care of him, play with him a little bit. But I know that from the moment I get the phone call, I can't work on my business. I can't do anything and can't do shit. So that side of my life has to be on pause, on hold for a moment. So my ambition has to wait. But
or if I may,
yeah,
it needs to change.
Maybe change,
not wait, but change.
I'm not sure if that's a good point. That's a good point. So I don't know how to change it though.
Or maybe a concrete question for you.
Yeah.
You have a lot of different things you want to make. Mm-hmm. And does your kid require attention all of the time?
No, not anymore. He's 10 now, so he can just play Fortnite for the whole day and tell me to fuck off if I'm disturbing him. Like in a nice way, but like, yeah, hey, I'm busy.
If you want to call him for dinner, you have to log in and kill him a few times.
Yes. you're so close to the truth. You don't even know.
Oh, I want to see that. But I was kind of leading you into there that you didn't mention that you finished the belts.
Because I didn't.
I kind of guessed. So even though your kid is at home, like, I assume you kind of can work on that while he's at home.
I could, but I'm a complex personality I'm a complex personality who requires to have at least 3 or 4 hours ahead of him to just start working. Because if I know I have only 30 minutes or 1 hour, I'm like, it's not worth it. So I'm going to iron some clothes. I know.
And you said your wife likes to do the ironing, so you're stealing her fun.
Yeah, but this week she's been so crazy busy that I had to do it.
Because I love you so much, I left all the ironing for you.
No, that's what I said. I love you so much that I did the ironing. No, she actually enjoyed doing it whilst listening to music. But this week has been really busy for her. I know how I work, what I need in order to be efficient at work, and I prefer to put something on hold and come back to it when I have the focus and the time, rather than just work on it for 10 minutes and have to stop again and come back and work on it for 20 minutes. Because I need this a concentration and this.
You tried it though, and something that's like not.
I tried.
For customer. Okay.
I tried. I fuck it up all the time. Okay. All the time.
Oh, because I enjoy it so much. Because when if I only have time for 10 minutes and it's like in the process on one step, I kind of like dream about it, like what the next step's going to be and how I do it. And just like, this is something that something in progress, and that's not procrastinating. Like, I mean, something really in progress where I know if I get another 10 minutes, so I'm kind of searching for those little spots that are open during the day.
I understand. I work the same, but I need 2 hours at least.
Okay.
If I have a 2 hour window, I can start working on something. Do it and pause it. If I have 10 minutes, to me, it's not worth it. So I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to spend some time with the kid because it's the only 10 minutes that I have free. For me, it's not worth it to get into the working mood because I know that I will have to get out of it like in 10 minutes. So
I still want to push you on that though.
Yeah.
But also because I recognize myself a lot in what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it always feels like it is a chore to get out to the workshop and get started on the day. Like you say, if suddenly my schedule gets interrupted in some way, then I have lost the motivation. It doesn't feel like it is worth it to spend the time to get to the work to do less than what I hope to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've tried to remind myself, and this is a lesson I keep relearning, is that any amount of progress is still progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if I was hoping to spend 8, 9, 10 hours in the workshop, but suddenly shit happens, I get to leave late, I need to get back early, at max I get maybe 3 hours in the workshop.
Mm.
That is still 3 more hours than nothing.
Yes. Yeah. That what you just said, like, Even a small step in the right direction is a good step in the right direction. Any amount of work that you do is progress.
Mm-hmm.
You said that in a podcast like long time ago, and it stuck with me. And it's fucking right. Every progress is good progress. So I should do 5 minutes, 10 minutes work when I have the opportunity to do so.
Maybe what you need, Red, is something like an in between project. No, like an side project. For those in-between times that you have. Like that's an extra thing that's simple that you can't really fuck up, and you do it, and when you're done with it, like after a week, just with the free time that you have, first of all, you see something that's going to be productively produced.
Yeah.
And then also you can compare it later on to other pieces if it's really worse or if it's just in your head that you can't do it if it's just in 5-minute pieces.
That's a great idea, actually. But let me just tell you a quick story. To explain how my brain doesn't work properly. I had a delivery schedule the other day. It was probably Tuesday or something. So I wake up, I got the message from Amazon. Your package is on its way. It will be delivered around 2 in the afternoon. I was like, great. From the moment I wake up, it was around 8:30 till the moment of the delivery at 2. I was unable to do anything.
Oh, you were like a cat, like on the window seam.
Yeah,
basically. Out waiting for the
basically. Because if I know that I have an appointment, if I know that I have a delivery, if I know that something has to happen at a specific time in the day, everything before that is the waiting time. Mm. I can't do shit. I'm so excited or focused or bored because I have to wait for the thing to arrive that I can't concentrate on anything else.
Mm.
That is interesting.
That's a fucking pain in the butt also because it paralyzes me from doing anything else. I can't do anything. I could have been working for 4 hours the other day. I just couldn't because I was constantly in my mind. It was, the package is coming. You're going to be able to do the shit that you require the thing for. So just be, don't miss the guy. Hey, don't miss the guy. Check your phone. Open the door because otherwise you won't hear the bell. Don't miss the guy all the time for 4 hours. It's a fucking nightmare. So it's very hard to have this ambition of developing a business when you are like this. Because yeah, it takes up so much time and energy. But I have to figure out ways of doing things differently. And I had the idea the other day to have all my deliveries done at my parents' house. It's not far away, and I have to. I'm driving through in front of it when I'm picking up the kid. So if it's delivered over there, there are always someone. I would be at peace in my head, like more quiet place, because I know it's going to be delivered. Someone's going to pick it up for me. It's going to be missed, and I still will get it at the end of the day when I go fetch the kid at school.
This is why I get a lot of my stuff delivered to one of the drop-off places in town, kiosks where you can just pick them up. Because I know in the moment when I click that, because they don't fucking ring the doorbell where I live. Yeah. They're too lazy to walk up those steps. Same here. Know it, and it drives me insane. Like, this is something like it's nagging in the back of my head. So what I do, as soon as I know it, like Hermes and all the other ones, I just directly reroute it to the kiosk. And I know I have to do an extra trip like into town, like walk there like for 10 minutes and pick it up. But I get the email that it's now at the shop, and I know it's going to be there for 3 days. So I'm just, don't worry. And the moment I click that and it gets sent to the shop, I just don't have to worry about it anymore.
It's the same here. They don't. There's three stories to walk, climb, not climbing. It was just walk upstairs. They don't want to do it anymore. So you have to. But I have to go down the stairs like three stories, and get my package in the fucking street. Whereas I pay for an Amazon Prime subscription, which is not free, and that guarantees delivery at home. So if you're an Amazon driver, please, please be nice to your customers and do your job properly if you live in France. That was a personal message.
It sounds like you did find a system, though, for that, that you can have things delivered to your parents.
Yeah, yeah. I'm.
And then you don't have to stress about it all day. You don't have to worry about it.
I'm quite self-aware of all my disabilities, so to speak, or impairment or just difficulties in life. So I try to find solution to be more effective and to keep that professional ambition that I don't want to give up, because that's not a dream. I probably said it earlier in a different episode, but what I'm doing now is not a dream. It's what I want to do. It's a conscious choice of career or path or whatever, because I just love it. So I want to do it, and it's not something that I'm just dreaming to one day be able to do or whatever. So I need to find practical solution in order to just make it go further and develop. But yeah, as you said, I'm married, I have a kid. And when I did marry and when we made the choice to have a child, it was also a conscious decision to give up a certain amount of freedom. I see many people like talking about going to Mega Central and visiting friends for a week before, after. I don't have this liberty, this freedom anymore. But what I get in return is having a child, and I wouldn't trade in for anything, right? But I'm also aware that I made a choice one day. The choice is absolutely wonderful. He's 10 years old now, he's a stunning child, and I can't just betray him by being selfish and trying to regain the freedom that I gave up consciously 10 years ago, 11 years ago, right? So it's something that you live with, and when you are at peace with it, when you have understood that it was the right choice for you, talking about myself, everything's fine, and you don't have to regret anything, and you don't have to be mad about anything. So I see the ambition a little bit that way. It's fine if you don't have any, because just existing is good enough. What you do should be good enough. If you enjoy your life, where you are at in life, your situation with your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your children, your job, where you live, if you have ambition, that's fine too, but it will require sacrifices, as Raz rightfully said, because it's not going to happen like by itself, unless you are fucking lucky. But
I mean, it doesn't happen by itself, though. It always requires something.
Yeah. I mean, but you could win the Super Bowl or whatever and become super rich, and therefore you don't need ambition anymore.
Or you just focus on it.
Yay.
I had better segues.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the whole maker thing. I love it. You know, I'm big into photography and, of course, the making part.
Really?
Yeah, shocking. I know, shocking. I love it when two YouTubers, like a maker and one that comes out of the photography sector, like if that crosses. Mm-hmm. And that's a guy I focused on before. It's Gerald Andan, and he usually does reviews about cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Usually modern one, digital cameras. But he has like a nice humor to it and nice storytelling and everything, or like storytelling, but yeah, he explains great. What he also does is he visits other YouTubers and rates their setup for recording, lighting, and audio.
Yeah.
And he was at Adam Savage's cave.
Yeah.
And so at the workshop. And I think that's one of my favorite like episodes yet, because he's a gearhead. Mm-hmm. So he knows about the camera. And then you got Adam Savage, which is like purely about story.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains like how he now films his stuff and like with all the squeaking handles where he mounts his phone to make the videos about it. And you could see basically the physical pain it inflicts on Gerald when he's how he does it. He's like, I understand why you do it, but still, that's gnarly.
Yeah, nice.
So what's his name again? Gerald Andan is the name of the YouTube channel.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm looking for the title of the video. That's Adam Savage's beautifully chaotic studio tour.
Yes, that's what I managed to dig that one up as well.
So how about you guys, Raz?
I just want to shout out Red for finding the mute button when he's coughing.
Yes.
For once.
Finally.
140 nearly episodes and he finally... Anyway, what's your focus, Red?
I have two. One quick focus.
And he's gone. that's like scripted.
Oh, no, that's too perfect. That's too perfect.
So and he's gone.
Yeah.
Raz, you want to continue? There he is.
It was not the mute button.
That's not where I parked my car.
Brilliantly done, Brad. I applaud you.
So, one quickly. A movie that I finally took the time to watch this week, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer.
Oh.
Brilliant filmography, brilliant movie. I know that there is a lot of people who can't stand Christopher Nolan. I don't care. He's a fucking brilliant man and director. Cillian Murphy, wonderful in that role. Robert Downey Jr., also brilliant. Visually very interesting. If you want to watch the movie just to see the big boom, you're going to wait, because it's not until like the beginning of the last third of the movie, and it doesn't last that long, so that should not be why you watch the movie, but more about all the journey of that guy that was chosen to create and supervise the Manhattan Project and create the first atomic bomb. But also, and that I'm really happy that they didn't skip that part, everything that he did after, and advocate against the use of atomic bomb after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So I'm not sure it's like, I've studied that part of history on the Japanese side, not on the American side, though, so I'm not entirely sure that it's 100% historically accurate, but still, it's a really good movie that will give you a good insight about what happened and how it happened and why it and everything. So Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, worth a watch. The other one is a lady called the Scarlet Huntress. I don't think I already mentioned her, but she's on TikTok and probably on other socials. She's a leather worker and a cosplayer. She does great stuff. She doesn't have that many subscribers on YouTube at the moment, only 2,500 or 600 or something. I think she deserves a lot more. So yeah, if you like cosplays and medieval costumes and leather work and stuff made by hand, I highly recommend the Scarlet Huntress on at least on TikTok, probably on other social as well.
Nice.
Very cool. You can never have too many cosplayers in the world.
Exactly. Oh, and there will be at Micah Central. There will be at Micah Central cosplayers, which is good news. That's great. Because that's also great making.
So, and who of us are going to make your central?
I'm not. I won't be there. So I don't know. Anything.
Yeah, Rush, I think you're muted. I can't hear you.
Yeah, no, it's just me because
you
bastard prioritize other things.
Because life.
Instead of your ambition.
Yes.
You have an ambition to make a Okay.
I mean, yeah.
It can be. Absolutely.
My ambition is to give Jamie a hug.
Oh,
that's a good ambition.
No, but that's a dream. That's not an ambition.
Kick Steve's arse.
Oh, that can be an ambition. That's an ambition.
Okay, my focus is in my excuse of doing research and procrastinating, or doing research as procrastination for other things.
Mm-hmm.
I stumble upon a artist blacksmith out of the US called Albert Paley,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. a video of him in the Craft in America series that's on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly he's a sculptor, but he's of the really, really old school kind. That mm-hmm. that kind of blacksmiths where, like, if you touch the computer, it sparks and dies. And mm-hmm. magic blue smoke disappears mm-hmm. and all that.
Yeah.
But it's really, really amazing to see a glimpse into his world and how he goes from making jewelry that was so heavy that his wife would lean over when wearing it to making sculptures that would occupy just an entire street in New York. I don't recall exactly which one, but like he had 12 sculptures or something consist over the course of a couple of kilometers in New York.
Okay.
And the scale of those things are amazing.
Yeah.
And how he's doing things. Albert Paley. There's the link in the description thingy for our listeners at home. But yes, that's the fella. But it's so amazing to see it. Like, it's not like an instructional thing, but it's just to get that glimpse into an artist's mind. Yeah. And also seeing him stand there with a torch in one hand and a water hose in the other, and then continuously warping metal by heating it and cooling it.
That's incredible.
And the things they made and how he did things, and also just how he starts out with just shaping things out of cardboard and then saying, like, I'm happy with this. Now I just need to make it 100 times bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. I dabbled into a few other of the Craft America series. A lot of interesting stuff. It's quote-unquote old TV at this point, but it's still really good to see.
Yeah. That's great. That's nice.
Albert Paley specifically, but that also
incredible.
Craft. Yeah. Craft in America. Albert Paley.
Oh, those gates are wonderful. Yeah. Okay, good. Good shout. Thanks, Rise.
Oh, yeah, they even have cross bracing.
Well done.
Any last little tiddly bits?
Nope. Good for now.
No. One thing. If you did sign up for the treasure trade and you did get your partner and you are starting to have a bit of panic around what you're supposed to make and anxieties and all of it, it's perfectly normal. It will not go away, but it's perfectly normal.
Yeah.
No, it will slowly build up.
until you're done.
Exactly.
Yes. And I mentioned Maker Central. So I think I don't have any more tiddly bits as well. No. Yes. But if you want to get a hold of us collectively, you can do that at twothirdsfocus.com, especially on Patreon, where there's what kind of bonus thingies? You can see our faces. That doesn't sound like a benefit. You can pay us and not see our faces on patreon.com/twothirdsfocus.
Yes, that too.
And you get episodes early, I believe. Did I forget anything, Jan? Do we do more good stuff?
Oh, we have to come up with some more stuff in between, some collections, but yeah. Just
you get to vote.
One or other odd thing in between. Stuff. Exactly. Yeah. You get to name Red's car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm still curious about that. We don't have the results of.
No, we do. John just never told us.
Yeah. No, he never told us during the podcast.
That's not true.
No, you never did.
I think we.
No.
Okay,
no.
Let me get back to that. The worst advertisement for the Patreon I've ever heard.
And you can get a hold of me at Rasmus Lewin and lewinsmed.no.
And you can find me at The Red Smith or Red Smith everywhere on the internet, more specifically at theredsmith.com.
And you can find me at Jan Maxwell or Northern Vendor, mostly on YouTube and Insta.
Cool.
Wonderful.
Thanks, guys. Much fun.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Have a good week.
Bye.